بسم الله توكلت على الله ولا حول ولا قوة إلا بالله أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته My dear listeners, I thank you for listening in on today's show this afternoon. You are on Let's Talk Life with me, your host, Khadija Muhammad. And we have just in a flash already reached the sixth day of Ramadan, Alhamdulillah. I hope and pray that each of you are finding the peace and the solace that this month brings upon us. And let us also take this time to pray and remember all those who are facing adversity in their lives. With so much happening around the world, let us pray for our Ummah and the people around the world for ease, strength and relief. And over the last few days, we have in our country faced some of the destruction of fires on hospitals and now with Cape Town University, causing much difficulty to those involved. Inshallah, may Allah relieve us of these difficulties and protect everyone. Last night we had a show on Radio Islam where we spoke about women and resilience. And it's just remarkable to see the amount of resilience that we as women carry out on a daily basis. And, you know, for some, things just don't seem to stop them. And with that, it brings me to an interesting guest and a topic for today's first half of the show. And after listening in, you will be sure to believe that resilience, like I say, is in our DNA. We are born with it and we strengthen it on a daily basis. And with that, it takes me to today's topic on a transformational journey into nature. And with that, I welcome our guest, Sister Tahira Ghani, who is a business entrepreneur, and she was orphaned and widowed by the age of 44. Now, Tahira's hobbies include walking, hiking, and jumping, and a lot of these are natured, typical natured kind of hobbies. And she's also a fiqh and a tafsir reciter and a volunteer at the Pretoria Burial and Lodium Cancer Care. So with that, I welcome Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh, and welcome to the show, Sister Tahira Ghani.
Walaikum salam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Jazakallah for having me on the show, Khadija.
It's only a pleasure, Sister Tahira, and I look so forward to the next few minutes that we have on our show with your inspiring stories. And I chatted to you a while back and you gave me a little bit of an insight of what you are doing now and how you've taken nature as... you've just taken a stride into nature and how it's changed your life. And it just was so interesting and it just took me by awe. And I think we're going to have a great show with today. So we're going to talk about your transformation journey into nature and a journey that has changed many aspects of your life. Now, we know that nature provides vital basic services to human survival, such as food and clean drinking water and the absorption of carbon dioxide and others. But evidence also shows that there are benefits of a nature-rich environment to people's health and mental well-being. Sister Tahira, tell us a little bit about your journey and how it all started for you.
Okay, so I was always an adventurous person that loved outdoors. My errands that had to be done, I used to always walk and do it. Felt that, you know, I don't need a car. And when we used to go on holiday as well, I would love to do walking tours. I felt, you know what, at the same time I'm exercising and I'm looking at places, and I used to love walking and doing stuff like that. But as far as trekking and hiking seriously is concerned, I was always obsessed with, from school days I was obsessed to have actually see Everest. And whenever I went on the net and Google, the best way to see Everest, the Everest Base Camp track used to come up. And that's how I started. I felt so excited that I used to look at this YouTube video, like every day I had to look at it, you know, and said, now, you know, this is now looks like it's something that I have to do for myself, or it's for my own mind, for my own well-being, because I've been so depressed for so many years and not realizing that this is maybe what I need to get out of. And then I started doing some research and realized that I have to train very hard and be extremely fit to do this track. So I have to get my mind and my body in order. And then I started training and hiking and finding groups and setting out goals for myself. And then from one group to the other, and that's eventually when I found the group that led me to go to base camp.
Alhamdulillah. And I'm sure it was a tedious journey for you to actually get yourself ready and in order to start. But it wasn't something that you were not capable of doing.
No, alhamdulillah. And at first I thought, no, I won't manage. And then I said, no, you know what? There's no harm in trying. Even if I get up to a point and not get to base camp, at least I tried, you know, at my age. And I was already at the age of 55. And I thought, oh, my God, why didn't I do this earlier when I was younger, you know? Anyway, and that's when I tried. And alhamdulillah, I made it to base camp.
Better late than never, they say, huh? How has this experience for you changed your life, Sister Daira?
Okay, so after the loss of both my parents and my spouse, I was at the age of 44, I was suffering from severe depression and anxiety, and I was very moody. Going out into nature has helped me feel more positive and look forward to life. Hiking, as such, is not only scenic, but fun as well, because you meet so many people out there, and basically you are all on the same level, and you love nature. And hiking being a low-impact workout, it offers multiple physical and mental benefits, from reducing anxiety to preventing osteoporosis as well. Hiking, outdoor activity, it delivers benefits beyond scenic and fun.
Okay, so lovely.
I feel it has affected my well-being as well.
And I'm sure along the road, Sister Daira, you must have faced some kind of challenges from this quest to conquer. Were you experiencing any drastic challenges? And what were they? Can you share them with us?
Well, most of the time I say to myself, like I told you earlier, Ya Allah, why didn't I start this journey when I was younger? As my biggest challenge is my knees, The fact that I have no cartilage on both my knees due to osteoarthritis and running in the past also played a part in damaging my kneecaps and cartilage. But I do go for regular physio and knee strengthening exercises. And the biggest challenge when you're doing trekking also is the altitude. So regular cardio exercises is compulsory, and walking, running, cycling, trail running. But regardless of that, you can be as fit as a fiddle, but if you get altitude sickness, of which the symptoms can be nausea, fatigue, mild headache, and lightheadedness, then the only solution is to come down. And another challenge is when you're hiking downhill, it impacts on your knee joints and your back, especially your core. You have to have a strong core. Basically, those are the challenges that I faced with the experience I had so far.
I think, you know, you have to psych yourself up also to do this kind of a thing. So I think you mentally have to challenge yourself as well.
It's brain power with everything.
It's brain power.
Yeah. You have to keep yourself, your mind strong. Because as you go higher into the mountains, obviously water is scarce, and the toilets also do become a bit of a problem. But you overcome these things. Looking around you and looking at the scenery, thinking of Allah, the earth creations, we feel so insignificant and small compared to those mountains that are so beautiful. Mm-hmm. And all around us, it's just amazing, the things that grow in the mountainous areas, you know?
No, definitely. And, you know, that's all very good for your well-being. I mean, just to get outside, it's important for us to get outside, especially for every aspect of our well-being, mentally, physically. So it's a great adventure, but endurance and resilience, I'm sure this is what you've definitely, this has been your strength now, is endurance and resilience. What does it mean to you now that you have challenged yourself and now that you've experienced this new zest?
These are two very important factors that play a role, you know, in trekking and hiking, etc. I'll just give you a few quotes first, and then I'll elaborate on them, right? Endurance is nobler than strength, and patience than beauty by John Ruskin. Endurance is not just the ability to bear a hard thing, but to turn it into glory by William Barclay. Life doesn't get more easier or forgiving. We get stronger and more resilient by Steve Maraboli. Life, the truth, and pain-free. In my life's journey, I always kept a positive, strong mind and attitude, and always said to myself never to give up. So throughout my journey, no matter what life threw at me, with all the trauma and trials in my life, I always kept a strong mind. So the mind plays a very important issue. And more importantly, the ability to pick yourself up after a difficult situation and continue is what we have to keep ourselves strong, because when you get up and recover, and you have to do it all over again. So that's mind power. Thinking now, oh my God, I'm done for the day. But that's not over, because in the long treks, you sleep, you're done for the day, you eat, you sleep, in the morning you have to get up, recover, and you have to do it all over again. Yes. And on multi-day treks, the difference between a pleasant escape and a torture fest boils down to physical preparation. Endurance is a ticket, but you need endurance that goes beyond day-long stamina. You need toughness, that gritty resilience that will have you bounding out of the tent come morning to do it all over again.
Interesting, huh?
So these factors, among the others, challenges me even up to today to rise early, get to the gym and train. Otherwise, I say to myself, oh my God, I'll never make it up that mountain, or I'll never get up there, you know. So you just get up.
Consistency.
You have to be consistently training all the time.
And discipline, I think. I think it takes a lot of discipline and consistency.
Yeah.
And that's how you actually get things done, you know.
Yeah, definitely. Mm-hmm. Discipline is a very important factor.
You know, I think a very important point, Sister Jaira, is well-being. And a lot of people don't understand how important nature is for well-being. So let's just talk a little bit about well-being. And with from a personal experience yourself, how has this changed your well-being in particular?
Okay, so there's a lot of research out there telling us that if you'd hike and this good for us as a form of exercise, that nothing like a brisk walk to get your heart rate up. Physically, the benefits are numerous. Hiking is basically a powerful cardio workout. Getting outside for even a short hike regularly can reduce your risk of heart disease, lower your blood pressure and cholesterol, and help to prevent type 2 diabetes, which I have. And most importantly, it boosts your bone density, since walking is a weight-bearing exercise. Because when you're hiking, you have to carry, it's recommended to carry some weight on your back as well.
Right.
And hiking makes you strong. It doesn't just work your legs. Clambering over uneven surfaces and navigating your way around rocks, fallen trees, across streams and over treetops engages your core and works your upper body for a true holistic workout. But the physical benefits are almost incidental to how hiking can contribute to your overall mental health and well-being. And hiking downhill is actually what tones your muscles the most. On the descent, your glutes, your quads are all working. They work actually non-stop to actually stabilize your knees and your hips. For this, like I said earlier, you need core strength, which yoga, Pilates are recommended. Based on these facts and the changes I have experienced with my well-being, that I experienced, my blood pressure has been lowered. My blood sugar levels have also lowered. My lower body, I got more strength on my legs than I ever had before. And it has reduced my arthritis pains. Altitude helped me with my lungs. I don't cough as much as I used to, alhamdulillah. And I think mentally it makes me a better soul. I have better sleep. I eat better in the sense that I choose healthier options. And I have a regular bowel movement. I focus better. And outdoor workouts, they build muscle, boost your brain power, activates that. And most importantly, I think it activates, it does activate the happiness hormone. It keeps you happy all the time, in a better mood.
And I think once we get out into nature, we actually evolve as human beings.
Yeah.
So it's a great place to evolve and to find yourself and to find your purpose. And, you know, to actually follow the attitude for gratitude. And we go out there into nature and we actually appreciate the finer things in life. Things that we take so for granted on a daily basis. You know, just nature itself is just the greatest blessing, and we should be so grateful for it because of all this, like you're saying. I mean, look at how it has changed your life, and it's changed your well-being, and it's done so much of positive changes for you as a person, as a human being, physically and mentally. And this has all been done just by going out and exploring nature and evolving yourself in nature, alhamdulillah. So it's really something that we should take more advantage of. We have so much of it around us. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has gifted us with nature, and we should actually take time to appreciate it.
No, we should. Right. And, you know, we as human beings, we spend 90% of our time indoors.
Yes.
And we should actually take advantage of what is out there.
Mm-hmm.
And it's very good for our well-being, our, like I said, the mental health as well. It took away my depression now. And if I don't go on a Sunday hiking, I feel something lacking for the whole week. I'll be in this mood that, you know, I won't even smile because I haven't been out there.
It's your power tool for the week. Keeps you going.
For the week. Yeah.
And, you know, but a lot of women also face challenges. And what advice can you maybe give women that are challenging themselves? Because find a lot of us face their fears, you know, in taking this big step. They're scared to take the big step into exploring the outside world. So what are some of the advices that you can offer women to actually face their fears and just take the step?
My advice is that they should take it one step at a time. Don't set a very high standard goals for yourself. Set small baby step goals, and that's what takes you higher up. Even when I'm hiking, when I'm doing a big hike like on a mountain, I set myself small goals. I said, no, you know what? I'm just going to get up to that point. Thereafter, I'll see. And then when I get up to the death point, and I said, okay, now I'm going to get up to the next point. And then before you know it, I'm already summiting or going where I'm supposed to be. Mm. So my advice is also that to learn to live in this moment. Because when was the last time you really concentrated on being truly present and in the moment of a situation? And the beautiful simplicity of getting out into nature removes that barrier between you and the natural environment. Everything is up close and real in nature. There's no filter. It's just nature. So let's challenge ourselves and make it a goal. And this 2021, we can go for a hike at least once a month.
Mm-hmm.
And the soul, our soul thanks us for it. Because it's like soul power that you're getting out there.
Yeah, I think we need to get ourselves out of our comfort zones and just get out there more. And like you said, it besides boosting your happiness and positive emotions, it also teaches you kindness, and it also has lots of physical and mental benefits for you. So we have been very stuck in our comfort zones, especially in the last year because of the pandemic. People have become just so used to not doing anything, and a lot of health issues have occurred because of the stress and anxieties, and a lot of illnesses have cropped up and those kind of things because people have just kind of sat in their comfort zones and just the fear and anxiety of actually going out in it and being adventurous.
Yes, also during the lockdown, I actually, every Sunday I was out there. I made sure that I get out on a Sunday because the gyms were closed. We couldn't walk at certain times. And I used to get up on Sundays and make sure that I just go for my hike. And that, I think that helped me through the lockdown, actually, because without that, I think I would have died.
No, definitely. Yeah. No, it gave you a reason to get out there, you know. And I think that must have definitely had an impact on your life, and you found your purpose, and alhamdulillah for that. So Sister Taira, maybe you can give us some final words. We almost done with the segment of the show. Some final words for our listeners.
Okay. Like I said, we as human beings, we spend 90% of our time indoors, and hiking is not a get fit and lose weight in 30 days idea. People, and it's about time we focused on more than aesthetics, health, and more than cardio and strength conditioning, and our resolution reflects that hike more and worry less. Benefits of hiking are endless. I've been an avid hiker for only about 5 years. But at the age of 57, I feel like I'm in my 30s and have more energy and stamina that I ever had before. And that amazes me. I suffered from depression in my 40s. Hiking helped me through it. It has changed my life and well-being. And I plan to hike, inshallah, till forever. But here are 10 reasons why hiking is good for us. I'll just give it to you briefly.
Okay.
One, hiking clears the mind and reduces stress. Hiking makes us happier. It improves sleep quality. Your memory is improved through hiking. Hiking reduces anxiety and depression. If you've got a problem, you just go for a hike and you'll just find a solution for it. It makes us more generous, like you said earlier. And it reconnects and take time for yourself. Hike with friends. Although if you hike alone, it's spiritual, but hiking with friends is more fun and also safer. And also you learn to live in the moment. Hiking is very spiritual, connecting with your creator in nature, seeing how small and insignificant we really are compared to the mountains. Mm. And another thing I'd like to say is that I've experienced with contact with mountain people when I went to South America and Asia. Mm-hmm. Mountain people have a long lifespan. And I've seen them, they live over 100 years. But at that age, they still have their teeth. They eat what they grow at high altitude. For instance, in the Andes, I learned that in Machu Picchu, they grow over 3,000 types of potatoes, 1,000 types of corn. And the juice of the red corn, which we don't ever see here, helps you with altitude. So I say, what are we waiting for? We should head for the trail and reap all the benefits that's out there.
Alhamdulillah, you know, that's so such great words of advice, because I think we really need that. We need to get out there. We need to appreciate the finer things in life and realize that we are actually, like you said, just small versions of what truly is out there. And there's so much bigger things out there. And we get so caught up in our lives, and we get so, you know, in everybody else's lives as well. And we're missing the bigger picture. Yeah. You know, we're missing the bigger picture.
Yeah.
Sister Taira, I'm so inspired by your stories. And like I said earlier, when I introduced you to the show, I got to personally speak to you about some of your adventures. And we actually didn't get down to speaking about it all. But it was so inspiring. And I really, really, I really have to say that, you know, well done. You show great strength, and you show great traits of being so resilient, and keep going. You still have so much ahead of you. Keep going. You're definitely an inspiration to so many women out there, especially to me. And just keep at it. You're doing a fantastic job, and you should be proud of yourself. It's really been an honor to have you on our show today. And inshallah, maybe we could have you back on the show, and you can speak to us a little bit about the journey up that mountain, up Mount Everest, what it was like for you, the days and your whole diary of your journey up there. That would be a great, I think that would be great inspiration for all of us to hear. But with that, we are running out of time. So I'm going to have to say my goodbyes to you for today's show. But it's been a great honor. Thank you so much, Sister Taira, for being on the show today.
Thank you for having me on the show.
And sharing your content. Do take care of yourself, inshallah, and we will chat soon. Assalamu alaikum.
Assalamu alaikum.
And there you have it. You can take your walk outside, you can meditate outside, you can tend a garden, you can have a picnic, or you can just relax outdoors instead of the inside. Take a hike, go for a walk, hit the trails, and just find yourself, you know. Even when you are inside, you actually need to get the benefits of the outdoors during your daily tasks. You need to get that natural light, and the world is just a beautiful place. And besides boosting happiness and positive emotion and kindness, exposure to nature, like Sister Taira said, it has so much of physical and mental health benefits for us. And she's given us all how her life has changed, how much from where she was to where she is now, coming out of depression. It's just amazing. There are solutions out there, and nature is the solution. And our experiences in nature lead to reduced stress and behavioral changes that improve our mood and our general well-being, like she spoke to us about. So inshallah, let that be an inspiration for all of you. We're just going to go to a quick ad break, and we will be back with the second segment of our show for this afternoon. Jazakallah. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh, and welcome back to the second half of the show. You are listening in on Let's Talk Life, and I am your host, Sister Khadija Muhammad. We have done with our first part of the show where we had a remarkable and inspiring Sister Tahira, who spoke to us about her transformational journey into nature. And if you missed the program in the first half of the show, be sure to catch up again on the podcast, where you will hear the fascinating story of how actually going into nature changed her whole life. And I'm truly inspired, really. I'm inspired by what she has done and how she has taken her life into the next fold, coming out of depression and just finding that zest for life and just finding a new purpose. And today we're speaking all about purpose. And our next topic and discussion is with Sister Suraya Nawab. She's a counselor who is actually going to chat to us about living a purposeful life. And as we have just heard from our previous sister, it's vital for all aspects of our lives to live purposefully. And to take us more into this great topic, please welcome to the show Sister Suraya Nawab. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh, and welcome to Let's Talk Life.
Wa alaikum salam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh, and thanks for having me on your program.
It's only a pleasure, Sister Suraya Nawab. I hope you are well during this Ramadan and taking it easy and just finding your peace and gaining your strength, inshallah.
Inshallah, ameen. It's what we all try and do, I hope. And inshallah, we see the fruits of it when we have a purpose for Ramadan.
Alhamdulillah. Sister Suraya, you know, we want to talk about life and the purposeful life. And, you know, life isn't just about staying alive. It's about living for something bigger. And to connect with your desires, with the excitements and the things that actually matter. And I think some of we are so out of tune. And recently we've all become so out of tune. You know, even to touch, to smell, and to feel the awakening of every cell in our body, it's so much of purpose. Now, moving towards a purposeful life might sound complicated, because people think now, oh, if I got to live my life purposefully, it's so much of an effort, you know. But it doesn't actually have to be like that. So from your point of view, Sister Suraya, firstly, what does it mean to live a purposeful life?
Okay. So I have a very simple Confucius definition of living a life of purpose. And that is that the purpose of life is to actually live a life of purpose. Okay? And when we say that, then we understand that a purposeful life is when we are moving towards a goal in our lives that aligns with our values, our passions, our religion, our spirituality. And the basic principle about living purposefully is the sense of happiness that we do get inside ourselves when we do something bigger than just ourselves, just nurturing our own self. But by understanding that your goal in life, and we are all the vice regents of Allah on earth, we submit to the religion of Islam, and submission to Islam means that we have a purpose to be the best version of a Muslim that we can be.
Yes.
Right? And our spirituality, which is different from being, I think there's a big difference between being religious and being spiritual. So when you're religious, you'll be very aware of the rituals that we have to practice as part of our religion. It's the point of hukukullah, what we do with our relationship with Allah, and to build that, right? At the same time, our purpose in life should also be very spiritual. And when we start thinking of our life in a spiritual sense, then that's when we start moving to recognizing what our purpose actually is on earth. So whether you're Muslim or non-Muslim, being happy is a norm for everybody. That's what we all try to strive for. Some people will want to be happy with very little in their life. Some people will need a lot more in their lives, be it material or not material possessions. But different people have different purposes for what they live, for which they live, right? So mm-hmm. a person can have a purpose of life to get married and to be married, to have a family, and to give their best to that family, to honor that nikah and that family to the highest level that they can. And that person is no different from a person who wants to be purposeful in changing the lives of millions of poverty-stricken people, for example.
Right.
So I'm giving you two scenarios. Very simply, some people will have, when they look at their purpose of life is to be happy by caring for their family, looking after them, nurturing them, bringing up good, confident children who grow up to be practicing their religion to the best that they can, and that makes them happy, and that for them they fulfill their purpose, and there's nothing wrong with doing that. Although we all also have a potential in our lives. Allah gives us all potential, okay? And that potential, part of our purpose in life should be to reach the fullest potential that you can. And basically, we have different ayahs from the Quran, and we have different examples from the Sunnah in how, for example, if one part of your body is hurt, the whole of the body hurts, right?
That's right.
One person is not happy, then the whole ummah should make sure that person is happy in different levels again, right? So that's what we taught in Islam. Our religion is not only for us. It should be shared, right? But at the same time, we also read different surahs in the Quran, different ayats in the Quran. The whole concept of enjoining what is right and forbidding what is evil. Okay? Mm-hmm. So when I say this, I say it because I feel that we as Muslims should have a heightened sense of purpose of our living. Because when Allah calls us back into His mercy, we need to have lived a life that has left a legacy of being... the way you live your life should be your dawah. That's
yes.
Right? And and some of the signs that we'll find when there's a person who doesn't have a purpose in their life is that I mentioned some of the signs, and some of them are that life just looks and feels like a real chore. Like the mundane daily tasks, even that is a drudgery for a person. Okay?
Right.
A very important sign that you're leading an unpurposeful life is that you become very complacent with sin, with sinning. Right? So it doesn't really affect you. Big sin or small sin, it doesn't affect you. It doesn't tug at your spiritual self, okay?
Mm-hmm.
That means your purpose is not to be this better person and to stop sinning, okay? You have no hope for the future. So you'll get people who just like lay back and are just in this very pessimistic mode all the time. And I'm saying this because also we know that the state of depression is becoming an increasingly prevalent problem in the community,
yes.
Right?
Yes, it is.
And we know that stress is very much related to depression. And so when a person is feeling aimless, when a person feels hopeless in their future, they obviously don't have a purpose to live. Okay? And that's why I think it's so important for us to find our Allah given purpose in life, our God-given purpose. And it'll be different for everybody, as I explained. Somebody will just be happy and find their purpose in being the best husband, best father, best son, best Muslim. Another person will want to be the best in the world. Okay? The common thing between them is pleasing Allah. If your purpose in life is to please Allah in any way you can, and to stretch your potential to reach that purpose, then you are living a purposeful life. And research has also shown that people who live a purposeful life, who set goals for themselves, who have a vision for themselves,
They live much happier lives, and inevitably they live longer lives because they are more fulfilled.
Okay? Alhamdulillah.
That we see so much. And then also as Muslims, it should be so much easier because, and now we're talking about living a life of purpose in Ramadan. If we can just understand that we discourage self-doubt within us, if we enjoy the spiritual awakening and find it fulfilling, then our greater calling is to Allah above everything else. Everything you do is for the pleasure of Allah. So even if you get up in the morning and you're cooking your food, you don't have to be a rocket scientist to be having a purposeful life, honestly. If your intention, there's another thing, the intention of how you live your life every day, with the everyday things you do, if it's done for the pleasure of Allah, already you're having a heightened sense of spirituality about what your purpose is, isn't it?
So the purpose of life is, like you're saying, not just to be happy. It is to be useful, to be honorable, to be compassionate and have it make some difference in the way that you have loved and the way that you have lived well for the sake of Allah.
And how much of a difference do you make in another person's life?
Exactly.
You know, it's not only about how much money you give to a person to sustain themselves. It's also, your dawah is in your action.
In your actions. Yes, and when you have this mission greater than yourself, it brings focus and purpose. Tell us a little bit more about the importance of this, Sister Sreya, about bringing focus and purpose into your life.
Okay, so when we bring focus and purpose into our lives, it's very easy to understand the concept. I'll tell you why. And we're talking in the month of Ramadan, which is the month of the Quran, and the month of immersing ourselves for the pleasure of Allah, right? Mm. So people will resonate with it right now. And that's why I found it very appropriate when I was asked to talk about this in the month of Ramadan. And our prayers and our supplications and our du'as for tawakkal and taqwa are exactly what the essence of our lives are supposed to be. And this is not only becoming a pious person, praying your salah all your salah plus all the nafil plus alhamdulillah if you can do that, okay. Mm-hmm. But not everybody has the ability to do that. We must understand that, right? But when we try and draw on our Allah-given passions and talents, and then we realize a holistic purpose that we have, then we set goals for ourselves that are greater than our own person, as you said, right? It's greater than us. We need to think about other people, including other people into our purpose. Even couples. So I do this 7 steps to improve effective relationships. And one very important thing there that I talk about is a couple having a vision for their life together.
Mm-hmm.
So ultimately, your vision for your life, your purpose of living as a married couple who are honored with this contract of nikah is to be together in Jannah.
Alhamdulillah.
Right? But on the way there, there are things that we need to do to be purposeful, to find the outcomes that are going to keep us happy, that are going to keep us content. And that's another thing that I think people need to understand. There's a difference between being happy and being content and having the sense of inner peace.
Mm-hmm.
Being happy is a very fleeting emotion. So something good happens and you feel happy for a while and then it settles down because life goes on.
When
you are happy consistently because you are purposefully doing what you love doing, what Allah has meant for you to do to the best of your ability, then each little happiness will be an outcome working towards your contentment, your inner peace. Having said that, we must also realize that we live in a world where we want everything immediately. Right? So we talk about purposeful life here, and maybe somebody hears it and just it resonates with them, and they feel like, oh, I need to do this tomorrow, and I'll be happy, and I'll find a purpose, right? But all around us, and our history teaches that, that Allah teaches us one very important lesson again and again, and that is that everything is a process, and it takes time. So you sit down with first looking at your life, looking at your potential, looking at your God-given potential and the amenities that you have. You make shukr for what you have. That's the other thing. But Quran says, La in shakartum, la azidannakum. The more we make shukr to Allah and appreciate what we have, the more Allah will give us in abundance. Right?
Beautiful. Alhamdulillah.
When we do that, we realize that everything takes time and it is through a process. Allah could have made a baby in a moment. We know Allah can say be and it is.
Yes.
But He designed to take to make it 9 months.
Yes,
steps. A seed that Allah could have planted in the next moment could be a big giant oak. Because Allah says be and it is. Right?
Alhamdulillah.
Allah has designed it to take hundreds of years to become purposeful. It's taken time to be this beautiful oak tree that Allah intended it to be. Okay? The hadith, the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the Prophet's mission could have been completed in 1 or 2 years, right? If Allah wants. But what did Allah want? Allah designed it to take what? 23 years.
Yes.
Okay. So you will not always see the fruits of the purpose that you have in life right away. But you need to not get discouraged, because all the things that you work for that are really in your interest and make you that higher sense of spiritual being that we are meant to be takes time.
Alhamdulillah, Sister Sireya. These are such profound words that you've actually, and such wise words that you've put across for us today. We could go on for hours listening in, but unfortunately our show has come to an end. And please bear with us. We are definitely going to have you back on the show again, because I think we're just not getting enough of what we could speak about on this topic. So I do thank you so much for sharing all those wise words with us. We are at the end of the show, inshallah, and we look forward to having you on as a guest, inshallah, again very soon. Jazakallah so much for being on our show this afternoon.
Jazakallah for having me, and I wish everybody, all the listeners and yourself, a wonderful Ramadan, spiritually uplifting, and inshallah, find your purpose.
Inshallah, ameen. Jazakallah for that.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Wa alaikum salam. And there you have it, my dear listeners, some wise words from remarkable and resilient woman on today's show. It's just been extraordinary. And what I love about our guests is each one poses such enthusiasm and zest for life, you know. And each one is so encouraging and remarkable with the strengths that build up stronger and more resilience every single day, alhamdulillah. So with that, we've come to the end of the show. A very big thank you to you, my dear listeners, for giving me your time on today's show. Do join us again next week, same time, as we share some more remarkable content just for you. Remember, this show is for you. It is about you. It's for your betterment, for your peace, and for creating the best version of yourself. Stay blessed and stay safe.